Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that takes your career to the next level. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, author of Amazon Careers bestseller, Navigating Career Crossroads.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/Jane Jackson Careers. There are over 180,000 book titles to choose, so give it a go and get your free audiobook today from audibletrial.com/Jane Jackson Careers. Well, hello, and welcome back to my careers podcast, where I interview fascinating professionals who have made interesting career changes. And I'm delighted today to have Joanna Maxwell with me on the show. Joanna is a keynote speaker and accredited coach and trainer and the owner of Work in Color. She uses the power of creative thinking to help clients advance their careers and solve all kinds of problems in the workplace. As well as working with individuals and businesses, she was the resident coach on two series of Ray Martin's The Road Next Traveled radio show, produced by Fremantle Media for Fairfax Digital. Her current fascination is in helping people in their 50s and beyond to reinvent their work and lives so that they can reclaim their future and create the life they want for the coming decades. After recovering from her first career as a lawyer, Joanna discovered her true calling, working with people who wanted to flourish at work. And after qualifying as a coach and trainer, she founded Work in Color in 2002. Her popular Juicy Thinking sessions and workshops create big, juicy ideas for teams and businesses, including the ABC and Victorian Chamber of Commerce. And she has been a speaker at the Australian Compliance Institute annual conference, Flying Solo Live, Business and Professional Women, She Business Australia, Australian Corporate Lawyers Association, and the Executive Assistance Network Conference. This is one busy lady. Not only that, as a freelance journalist for more than 20 years, Joanna has been a contributing writer for AFR Boss Magazine, the Sydney Morning Herald, Canberra Times, and The Bulletin. Plus, Joanna is the author of two books with another one in the pipeline, and we'll find out all about that soon. So let's welcome Joanna to the show, and good morning, Joanna.
Thank you, Jane. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, well, I'm delighted to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to finding out all about how you made your fascinating transitions. So how about to kick us off? How about tell us a little bit about your early days?
When I was very young, I wanted to be an alien, in fact. I used to go out in the backyard and dream that my real parents would come from whatever planet they lived on and take me away. But fairly early in life, I realized that wasn't going to happen, and I've come to enjoy being a human very much. And when I was in my teens, I dreamt of being a writer. I always wanted to either write the great Australian novel or become a journalist and cover interesting events. However, my parents decided that wasn't a sensible occupation. I never told them about wanting to be an alien, so they didn't ever have to worry about that one. So I ended up studying to become a lawyer.
Okay. And so what path did you take to get from where you are today, from the early days as a lawyer?
Fairly soon into my legal career, I realised that really wasn't for me. In fact, before I even graduated from law school, I was, you know, waking up in fright thinking, how can I do this? And so I did activate my dream of becoming a journalist by doing a lot of freelance journalism on the side. Started with travel journalism and then moved more towards social issues. Did a lot of stuff on refugees when I was younger. And that helped on the edges, but after some time it really wasn't enough. I was very unhappy as a lawyer. So I started looking around. I tried all different kinds of law and ended up teaching law at Sydney University in the economics faculty. And I enjoyed that for a while. And I kind of realized from that that actually I was a teacher, that that's what I loved. And so I was trained as a psychotherapist in the middle of all of this and fairly quickly realized it was teaching, not healing, that was my thing. And so I moved then into coaching and training, and that's what I do now.
Oh, that's fascinating. It's quite big career changes. Time, what precipitated you making the change? For example, having trained as a lawyer, because that takes so much time and effort and it's an awful lot of very, very hard work and such an honour, you know, to graduate and then be practising as a lawyer as well. But getting into teaching and then deciding on training to become a psychotherapist, what was going on in your head then?
I had deep conflicts as a lawyer, both ethical and in terms of business practice. And the practice of law has very little to do with the study of law. So it was a real mismatch. And one of the things I do these days with career clients is try and head them off at the pass so that those mismatches don't happen. Mm. And I was looking around. My thing really at the end of the day is about communication. And so all my careers have been about communication. They may not look like that from the outside, but to me, they're all different ways to work with people and communicate. I'd share ideas and help people. And so the writing was a natural. I've always wanted to do that. I got into personal development courses in the 1980s, like many of us did. And that kind of led me to wanting to teach that kind of work, which led me to wanting to train in some form of psychology so that I would be more useful to people. And that in turn led me to realizing I was a teacher, not a healer, and moving more into coaching and training. So from the inside, they're a lot less bumpy than perhaps they look like from the outside.
Yeah, no, it's almost like a natural progression and exploration to find out what it is that you really enjoy. You know what's really interesting is so many people, when they start out thinking about what courses they want to take, you know, when they're in high school, secondary school, and then deciding on university courses or going to tech, they're so worried that they'll make a mistake and whatever they decide, it'll be something that they're stuck with. But as you've proved, regardless of where you are at the beginning, life and careers can take such a fascinating path and you never know where you're going to end up. Would you say that you had any idea of a plan from the beginning or did it just evolve?
Bit of both, I think. I had a plan to be a writer and that was derailed before it happened. And then my parents had a plan for me to be a lawyer and I love justice, still do, fascinated by justice, social justice. And so I went along with that plan. I can't say that I ever thought ahead. I'm nearly 60 now. I cannot say I ever thought anything like this far ahead. And I think that's just fine, actually, because not only do we change as we get older, but the world changes. So the things like being a coach, you and I, didn't exist in this format 20, 30, 40 years ago. So I think you have to stay flexible but true to your values and your interests, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know what's so interesting is sometimes when I'm working with my clients and they say, oh, Jane, what if they ask me, where do I see myself in the next 5 to 10 years? And I have to laugh because it's almost impossible. Mm. I mean, you can hope for something, but, you know, with the way things, exactly as you say, the world changes, the economy changes, stuff happens, and you never know where you're going to end up. And I think round about 18 months, say, 2 to 3 years max is about as far ahead as I like to plan because life just happens to us and it just moves on. And now that you've moved into coaching, how does it feel?
I love it. I've found the perfect fit. And it's not as if I've left behind all the other things that I've learned. I still use a lot of the left brain rigorous thinking that I learned as a lawyer, both to structure my business but also helping clients to plan things. And I use, obviously, my writing and therapy skills in the background as well. So I've found my perfect fit, I think. And it's taken me quite a while, but I can see that it will keep me happy with different twists and turns for the next, I hope, 20 years.
Sounds like you've found your true passion and direction.
Yes, in the broadest sense, as we said, I would never want to predict I'd be doing exactly the same mix of work in 2 or 3 years, but in the field, absolutely.
And things change so much as well, and the way that you even deliver services changes. Mm. It's a bit like being on this podcast. Who would have thought, say, 5 years ago that podcasting would be possible, and now I'm able to interview you, and it's really interesting hearing about how your career has progressed. So tell me now, Joanna, what do you find the most challenging about being a coach and everything that you do now?
Oh, that's easy to answer. Sales and marketing, it is not my natural skill set. I've got competent at it because you have to, as you would know, if you want to run your own business at anything, sales and marketing is critical. You know, the easy bit for me is helping people shift and create satisfying careers. I love watching that. But the back end of the business and the promoting of the business is always going to be the stuff that I have to put effort into.
I have to admit, I totally agree as well. I feel the same. I love the delivery. Working one-on-one with clients and helping them to find their aha moments is amazing. And it's such a good feeling as well. And I feel,
I'm sure
that, you know, like for you, dedication to a cause or service and helping others is a key driver for you. But yeah, the sales and marketing, it's a lot of hard work, isn't it?
It sure is. But I say to my clients, you know, there's no job, even the so-called perfect career or perfect job, isn't going to be 100% fabulous activities all day, every day, is it? No. There's always going to be some aspect that you just have to grin and bear it.
Yeah. I find 80% of what I do, I love, and 20%, which is really, it's that salesy side and a bit of the admin as well. That's what I just go through the motions and I get it done. But the delivery, that's the main thing. And that's what makes my heart sing. There's always about 80-20. If you keep it to that balance, it's not so bad.
I think so. And there's been some great research done on strengths and how to use strengths at work. And they would totally agree. They would say anything around 75%, 80% if, like you and I, we're pretty lucky, is a great ratio of strengths to not so strengths.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Joanna, now with your business, Work in Colour, which is such a great name, how did you come up with this name? What is it all about?
I guess for me, I'm a natural metaphorical thinker. I read a lot, I write a lot, I think in metaphor. And so for me, Work in Colour is to encourage people to work in colour, not in black and white. So to bring their working lives and their lives generally, of course, into a vibrant, multidimensional world is the quickest route for satisfaction and success, I think.
And I love the name of your workshops and your book, Juicy Thinking. Now that's really, it's full of texture and quite exciting just hearing the name of it, because you think, oh, okay, what's going to happen during these sessions? So that's another very, very clever play on words that you've used for one of your sessions that you conduct. Tell me about your typical working day.
That's an interesting one, because I'm a bit addicted to variety, which is both an advantage and a challenge when you run your own business. And so I have, I guess you could call it, different streams. So 3 days a week I see one-on-one clients and other business meetings and appointments. And on those days I'm in my city office, which is my own lock-up space, which is very important to me when I'm working with clients, that I have a background, you know, an environment that is suitable and I feel really at home and comfortable in. So that works really well. Today is one of those days, so I'm here now. Then on one day a week, I go out to the suburbs and teach migrants, mainly migrant women, business skills. That's something I've done for about 4 years now and I love it. But it's a complete contrast, obviously, to corporate and city work. And then the other day of the week, I run workshops for corporate clients, the Juicy Thinking workshops that you talk about, and also work on my business rather than in it. And any small business owners listening will know exactly what I mean by that. All the stuff that helps you do business development and new programs and isn't directly related to income today, but is the only way you're going to keep the business viable in the future, isn't it?
And that certainly, you've got a very varied week or varied days, and I think keeping that variety keeps the job exciting as well and a lot of fun, because I always think working, if it isn't fun, why are we doing it?
Absolutely. I think some people would say to pay the mortgage, but why can't you have fun and pay the mortgage,
Precisely. It doesn't have to be one or the other, does it? But not usually sure. People think, oh, work's a drudge and then I just live for the weekends. And no, I don't even like that saying, thank God it's Friday. So why can't we think, thank God it's Monday?
You know, it's funny, isn't it? I tried to register that as a trademark about 10 years ago, thank God it's Monday, and someone in South Australia had beaten me to the post.
So. Oh, no, it's not our brilliant idea.
No, we're not the first to think of it.
Darn it, there are too many creative people out there. Now, tell me about this wonderful work, this teaching business skills to migrant women. That sounds like, just really would feed the soul as well as, you know, help women get on their feet and start their businesses and then assimilate into Australia.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing I learnt within about 10 minutes of starting the first program 4 years ago was that I was going to learn an awful lot more than I taught. And whatever our differences, our first program, we had about 22 women and they came from 11 different nationalities and 4 religions, all different circumstances. Some had been refugees, some had come out with their partners, some as children. And very quickly we became just a group of women around a table talking about business. And that model has persisted. So I've worked in various parts of Sydney. It's a government-funded program, and so I go a little bit where it takes me. But it's always satisfying. I've never found that it was a drudge or feel-good work. To me, it's just really satisfying teaching and engaging with whole different people and people that you may not come across in your little corner of Sydney.
Oh, what wonderful, wonderful work for the community. And tell me, for some of the women that you've worked with, what have they gone on to do in business?
We've had, who are our standout? Now, I mean, success is tricky because there are successes in the world and we've had those, but there are also many successes that are much more private. So in the world, we have one jewellery maker who's now got her own shop, retail outlet. We have a caterer who's doing really well. Numbers of people who import things, often clothing or accessories from their original home country, and sell it online to people in their community at markets, that sort of thing. But we also have numerous women who may not make a fortune or build an empire in their business, but have used the program because until recently, and maybe again, it was a one-year program. And so over that time, they developed skills, but confidence more than anything else in English, in navigating Australian business world. Several of them got their certificate 3 and used it to prove to an employer that they could stick at something and that they understood the Australian way of doing business. So very different outcomes, but all really nice to see.
Yeah, I think it's so good when someone's able to settle into a new country. And also, through your program, I'm sure they'd learn so much about the Australian culture because it could be very, very different from where they've originally come from.
Yes, and we have fascinating discussions about subjects from, if you're from a culture where you don't shake hands with people, or particularly you don't shake hands with men, how do you navigate a networking function to the ins and outs of halal nail polish. I tell you, it's a thing.
Halal nail polish?
Yes.
I've never heard of that. Oh, how I'm learning too. How interesting.
I know, it's fascinating. And just generally how to juggle work with kids and how different Australian groups handle that in different ways, and that possibly there are more things out there than any one of us can see from our own paradigm. So we teach each other. Their cultures have as much, if not more, to offer ours, I think, in terms of different ways of approaching life and work.
What a rewarding aspect of your work as well. And how fantastic, as a coach, to be able to choose where you wish to spend your time.
Yes, I love that. It's one of the things I most love about running my own business is being able to select project that I want to work on and make my days and weeks flexible enough to do them. It doesn't always thrill my accountant as much as it thrills me. But for me, career in business has to be something that's sustainable and satisfying. And I think, you know, accumulating money is not a goal in itself. I would never take away from needing to feel secure. And I was a single mum. I raised a child who's now 20. So I totally understand all of that. But once you've worked out how to make ends meet, seriously, it's good to have variety and projects that mean something to you personally.
That's right. Sometimes the accumulation of wealth becomes the be-all and end-all. And at the end of the day, how much meaning do you get out of that? But it's more the lives that you touch and how you've been able to improve the lot for others that I think is the most rewarding, certainly of the coaching that I do as well, because the combination of career and life coaching, it's wonderful to see the confidence and people being able to take control of their lives and careers too.
So, isn't it?
Yeah. So for you, because you've got this great balance, and I know this would be great advice for a lot of my clients as well, because there are so many who are thinking when they come out of the corporate world and they want to take control of their own careers, perhaps set up their own businesses, go into entrepreneurship, and coaching is one of the options that many do consider. So what's your advice, Joanna, for someone who wants to get into this line of work? What advice would you give?
Oh, interesting question, because I did it in such a roundabout way. The first bit would be don't do it like I did it. But the second one probably would be get some really good training. A lot of people think that coaching is just something you do naturally. And to an extent, of course, some people are suited to it and have been doing it around the kitchen table forever. But I think it is very important that you get training. A lot of the training out there isn't very rigorous. So you need to find a program that will really engage you and challenge you and teach you skills and models that you can use, you know, if not with every client, certainly with the tricky ones. I think the other thing that I would say is critical to successful coaching and training, because a lot of what I do is also teaching or training, is to have some life experience. I don't think it's a field that is necessarily very suited for people in their 20s, because I think you do need to have walked the talk. You do need to have lived through some of life's highlights and lowlights, and also had a bit of a working career. If you're going to work in the field you and I work in, which is around careers, you need to have actually had exposure to good and bad workplaces. And I think that makes a big difference when you are talking and empathizing with clients. I suppose I think you'd probably agree with that.
Absolutely. So your recommendation is to get some good training, some training that you find engaging and challenging so that you can get a good business model as well. Get the life experience, have some exposure, perhaps to different careers. And certainly for you, drawing upon your journalism experience and then your legal experience and your teaching at university, it's all of that comes together to form part and parcel of that rich tapestry of life that you can share with others as well. And drawing upon that great life experience, it must be wonderful for anyone. Certainly I find it when I've got together with you to chat about your life. I'm learning just listening to you. It's fascinating. It's great just having a chat, Joanna.
Yes, okay. And it's good for clients, but I also think it helps you gravitate to the right target market, you know, which would be my other tip for success for people in this field, is to find a market where you do have something to offer.
Yeah, that's right. And so getting into coaching, more specifically, your top three tips for success?
They're almost the same, really, as how to get into it. So getting really good training, I guess, as a tip for success, that would become keep on learning, go off, listen to people who do all sorts of interesting things, people who have a tip or a tool to show you, both online and in the real world, I think. Mm-hmm. Know your target market. Make sure that you gravitate towards a market where there's a resonance, I think, and nail the sales and marketing thing quicker than I did.
What's the best way to market a coaching business? I've had my clients ask me this all the time, and I have plenty of ideas. What works best for you?
Because I'm a writer, what works well for me is blogging, making comments on social media. I'm also a researcher. I'm doing a master's of education in my non-existent spare time. And so I really love digging out obscure little facts and sharing them with people. So that's a big part. And I think that's critical. If you're doing something that's out of your natural comfort zone, do it from a strength. And for me, my strengths are in content production. And so I do a lot of that. I'm also have become a more confident networker and speaker, and so I do a lot of marketing through that as well.
Mm. Well, I'm sure that everyone listening would love to see you in action sometime. So how can we find out more about your business?
Okay, if you're interested in my general career or creative thinking corporate programs, I have a website which is workincolour.com.au. And if you're 45 or over and you're interested in reinventing your career or planning the next stage of your life, come along and have a look at joannamaxwell.com.au and see what you see.
Mm, and on social media, what's your handle? Where can we find you?
On Twitter, I have workincolour, one word, and Joanna B. Maxwell. There's another Joanna Maxwell out there who took that one. And I'm also on LinkedIn under Joanna Maxwell. And Facebook, I have a Work in Colour business page and a Journey Without Maps business page, which is the handle I'm coming to use for my over 50s business.
Journey Without Maps. How good is that? You've got the best titles.
I love it. It's one of the fun things for me when I get bored with the admin and the back office and the sales and marketing is I come up with names.
Well, I mean, I love it. Juicy Thinking, Work in Colour. Joanna, I need you to think of something more interesting for me than Jane Jackson Coach. Okay, Jane
All
Jackson
right.
Coach.
Happy to take that on, Jane.
I need something. Okay, that's your mission for the next few hours, if you can do that. That'd be fantastic. And also, you've got a new book coming out soon, I believe, called Journey Without Maps.
Exactly, talking of which. So I've just about finished it and it's now in that nerve-wracking process of being pitched to mainstream publishers. So fingers crossed, I will have a publication date sometime soon for that.
Oh. Can't wait to hear about it, and I will certainly let everybody know. If anyone wants to a reminder with regard to the URL to reach Joanna, Work in Colour, and also her social media handles, have a look on my show notes on janejacksoncoach.com. You never know, the name may change once Joanna finds something more interesting for me. But have a look on my show notes on my website, and you'll be able to get all the details to reach Joanna. And Joanna very kindly is offering a special offer for anyone who would like to go through her coaching programs. And if you contact Joanna and mention my name and this show, you'll get 10% off a coaching package.
That's right. They need to sign up by the end of February 2016, because I'm sure this podcast will outlive that. But get in touch with me and I'd be happy to help.
And remember, this year it's a leap year, so we only go up to the 29th of February, so better be quick. Any parting thoughts for us, Joanna?
No, except the thing I always say to clients is find something that you love to do and then make it pay.
Very wise, and that's what we all need to do as well. Now, I could sit and talk to you all day, Joanna. Thank you so much. I hope you'll come back on the show again, especially when your book is published and we can find out a lot more about Journey Without Maps.
Thank you, Jane. I'd love to do that. It's been such a pleasure chatting to you.
And talk to you again soon. Thanks, Joanna. Bye.
Thanks, Jane. Bye.
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my Career Success Program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.